Welcome once again, sisters, to Return of the Priestess. It's, as always, an honor, a pleasure, a joy to bring you here. And this is your host, Dawn Del Vecchio, and facilitating priestess. I'm very, very honored and feeling joyful to share with you a deep conversation, an important conversation today. But before we dive in, as always, let's ground and center first. So if it's safe to do so, you can go ahead and close your eyes. And if you feel the call to do so, go ahead and place one hand on your womb space and one hand on your heart space. And we're just going to take three breaths together. So allowing yourself to settle into your body, into this present moment. Taking a breath in, really let yourself fill with the air, the oxygen, filling your chest and your heart space down into your belly, really feeling the breath bring you here now. And then exhaling to let yourself release past the future, responsibilities coming here to this circle around the earth. And breathing in again, really letting yourself feel the connection that we are all sharing one breath that travels around the earth. We are all connected in one sacred gathering through all time, space, and dimension. Even as we exhale, deepening into that center point place within the self. And one more breath in. Really feeling your connection to the life force energy. And exhaling, relax the shoulders a little more. Feel yourself settled in. When you're ready, you can open your eyes. So today our talk is about waking from the dream of separation. And we have a speaker who is well qualified to speak on this topic. And I feel we're going to go deep and broad as well. So let me tell you a little about her. Natasha Wilson is a descendant from a long line of women healers. And we're going to hear more about that in a bit. She carries on the traditions of her matrilineal and patrilineal lines, which hail from Africa and Native America. She blends her practices of ancient wisdom with her modern day passions and practices as both a cultural anthropologist and a psychotherapist, as well as spiritual life coach and intergenerational shaman. So welcome, welcome, Natasha. Thank you so much for being with us today. Oh, what happened? I don't hear your, oh, no, you're not muted. Let's see, I'm gonna mute you and then unmute you. Can I mute you? Excuse us, there you are, yay! Okay. Little hiccup, that's okay.
Technology, what are you going to do?
I know. I mean, overall, it's extraordinary that we have this opportunity. So, yeah. Okay, so Natasha, we have a lot to dive into today. Very excited about what we're going to be speaking about. And I just want to start, as I do with all of our brilliant speakers and priestesses here, is to invite you to share your journey to becoming a priestess. What has that been for you, and how has that led you to the work you do now?
So I think for a lot of us, we felt the call for a long time. Like, I don't know, even from a child, I had visions, I saw things. My mom still tells stories about how we would go places. We'd be walking through the French Quarter in New Orleans, where I'm from, and I'd say things like, I've been here before. And she'd be like, no, you haven't. You know, you're two, you're three, or whatever. And she always said, and there's, New Orleans is a very spiritual place. that there's a saying that in New Orleans, we practice Catholicism on the front porch, but we practice voodoo on the back porch. So New Orleans is this place where we sort of walk in these multiple spiritual worlds. And she always said I was born with the veil lifted. So, you know, just being able to be with and see ancestors, to see our star brothers and sisters, like I've had a lot of experiences. And, you know, as I went through life and wanted to sort of, we all go through this phase of we want to fit in, because I was a really odd child in a lot of ways, like instead of dating and all that stuff, I always wanted to practice a new religion, literally. So when I was 13, I wanted to become a Muslim. And so I just did. I just wanted to experiment with it. And so I did. And it just drove my mom crazy. Anyway, so I, like, she was like, what's up with this thing you want to wear? You have this hijab. I used to go to school wearing a hijab. She was like, it was just too much for her. But she's reflected, you know, like when she get calls saying your daughter's in the French Quarter chanting with the Hare Krishnas, you know, because I'm just.
Wow, that's great.
She's just like, she's like, you know what? It could have been worse. My daughter just wanted to practice different religions. But after a while, like I started to just want to fit in, you know? So like in my late teens, early 20s, I tried. So I went to school, I went to university, but I couldn't get away from my interest in spirituality. And all the while, I was always connected to Native American spirituality, because that's through both my maternal and paternal lines. My grandparents are Choctaw or Chata people. And so like I just knew a lot about Native spirituality, but there was also voodoo, which is a big part of New Orleans culture. And I was actually initiated, I think it was maybe 19 or 20. I was initiated as a priestess of La Sarene. So she's the mermaid. In
voodoo. Ooh.
Yeah, and so I was initiated then, and that was lovely, but I kept going on with my life. And I was like, well, maybe I want to be a minister. And, you know, because I just keep feeling, but I want to be a little bit more conventional, you know, like I just wanted to fit in. And so I've dabbled with different seminaries, and eventually landed with Agape. And I can talk about that later. But later in life, I was also initiated again. And that was with the beautiful Deborah Knighton Tellerico. We went through the 13 moon path of the goddess. It was a lovely, lovely experience with my sisters. And so was once again initiated as a priestess. So it's woven, and then I'm now in my mid-40s. So I've been doing this dance since I was about 13. And during all that time, you know, trying to be conventional, I got like a PhD in anthropology and studied women's studies, and then went back after my brothers were murdered in 2012. And I decided to go, so this is after Katrina, after my brothers, I wanted to get a clinical degree, because I didn't want to just be in the academic realm, producing research, doing research. I really wanted to be on the ground working with people to heal from trauma. Mm. As I was going through this parallel healing process myself, from both like interpersonal trauma that was triggered by my brother's murders, like long trauma, the current trauma of their murders, and then looking and seeing this sort of collective trauma that we've inherited, and I would write about in my writing, but didn't have a language for it. But so studying to become a clinician, I started to get some of that language, but it was so individual. Uh-huh. Right? So then this is why I sort of work both on the collective and individually. And just now more fully stepping into where those worlds intersect, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It does. Wow. Wow. What a story. You know, many of the women that I'm interviewing for this series, all, like you said, I was an odd child. You know, they had visions as children, like we began our paths early in some way. I my condolences about the loss of your brothers. I didn't know that, and but it does sort of lead into and very clear how what we're going to talk about and is so significant at this time. And we spoke before we started recording, and you said some powerful things about the heart of the work we have to do as a species right now is related to healing the intergenerational trauma. But before I ask my next question, you had written something to me that I feel, I'm just going to read it because it's so such a clear segue from what we're doing here in this Return of the Priestess and this the Rise of the Sacred Feminine and what we're talking about here today, the two of us. So I'm going to quote this quote and then I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
So as the Sacred Feminine arises at this critical time on the planet, women are being called to heal from trauma and the pain of inequality and social stigmas that have been handed down to us throughout the ages and generations. So now my invitation, my request is that you share some things, talk a little bit about what intergenerational trauma is and how you see this as a spiritual issue.
Absolutely. So intergenerational trauma is really, like, if you just break the word down, it's trauma that we have not experienced directly, right? But our ancestors did. And that it gets handed down to us and we live it out. Sometimes we have patterns and we engage in behaviors and we can't trace it to something in this particular experience of our individuated life, right? But we've inherited it basically. And there's a lot of research now, and there's a lot of great research on epigenetics that's coming out of Emory University. I guess it's not even new anymore, but some of the first research on epigenetics coming out of the Emory University really started looking at how we literally inherit trauma. And they quoted studies of people who were Holocaust survivors, people who survived some of the worst massacres across the planet, and then their children sort of like acting out or sort of having these PTSD type symptoms, and they themselves had not had a direct experience of a traumatic event. And so intergenerational trauma is just trauma that we inherit, you know, we inherit from the generations before us.
Wow. Wow. And you say that this is a spiritual, it's a spiritual issue. And I mean, I think we can draw our own conclusions, but I'd love for you to speak into this a little bit.
Yeah. So one of the things, so we're all one, right? I know so many of the people who are probably listening to this, you yourself, sort of operate from an understanding that there's just one. We're these individuated expressions of this one thing, source, whatever. You look at our skin and you go down to the tiniest molecular level and you find that we are literally created from the same stuff that makes up the stars we look at in the sky. Every single one of us without exception. Yeah. And so there's just one. And just these individuated expressions of the one. Because of that, we have a certain responsibility as a species, as a human species, to sort of heal and recover from the woundedness that's been handed down to us through the generations. I mean, the woundedness that's been happening in the collective feminine for probably the last 8,000 years, it really started 10,000 years ago, but really ramped up 2,000 years ago, but the woundedness that's been experienced in the collective feminine, the woundedness that's been experienced in the sort of racialized beliefs we've come to hold, which were like literally created by like this guy in France, like literally it was created. These things that we put so much of our identity and our energy into. So anyways, healing that, healing that woundedness. The woundedness is the belief that we're separate. That's mm-hmm. the woundedness, that somehow we are separate from the great all that is, you know, or the woundedness that comes from believing I'm separate from you or you're separate from me. The woundedness mm-hmm. of believing I'm all alone and we're surrounded all the time by ancestors, the spirits that live in the tree. I'm just looking at all these beautiful trees outside my window, like the spirits that live in those trees. I mean, like, we are surrounded and we are one with it all. But there's a woundedness, and it's a woundedness that's been handed down really in the psyche of Western thought. And you see it very clearly in the way that even the English language and languages like English is structured. It's really this belief that we are separate, that you're this very different thing from me, when that's not the case. We're individuated expressions of the divine. Mm. And so as we begin to heal that woundedness, we heal, at least in my cultural traditions, we heal 7 generations into the past and 7 generations into the present. So I heal my mama, I heal my mama's mama, my mama's 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 mama, all the way back, and all the damage that happened when I commit to doing the work to heal. And then I heal any future generations.
Wow. Right?
So I heal my children, my nieces, my grandchildren, everyone who goes forward. So the work is big, and it's a responsibility, because we're living out on the planet right now the consequences of a belief in separation.
Wow. That is so potent. I want to repeat it. We're living out right now on the planet the consequences of separation, indeed. And, you know, before we got on the call, and I told you I wrote this down because I wanted us to address it, you talked about autoimmune disease and what you're seeing there. Would you just speak to that again?
Yeah. So I live in Australia. I'm an American, but I live in Australia, whatever it means to be any nationality these days. But I've married into a First Nations community, the Kamilaroi people. And so I'm a Kamilaroi woman through marriage. And I've been working with what I originally thought were like indigenous ancestors, but I've come to experience them as, I call them, the grandmothers of light. And I've been working with them in dream time. And one of the things, but this is an idea that I've held for a long time, but they just sort of like helped me sharpen, okay, this is what is happening, or this is what we're seeing play out in our physical bodies. I was saying to you earlier that I've never heard of such a proliferation of autoimmune conditions across the human species. Like almost every ailment, you think of it from lupus to AIDS to, it's an autoimmune condition. Mm. And what is an autoimmune condition? It is a situation where the body cannot recognize its own self. And so it attacks the self, thinking it's an invader, an enemy. And so this is exactly what we do as a species. We can't see that we are the same thing. I mean, this plays out in racial politics. I talk about this a lot, right, in terms of racial identity and racial politics. But we can't see the other in ourselves or as ourselves. And so we attack, or we believe we're separate. So I feel sometimes like we are just these walking autoimmune conditions across the planet, you know?
Wow.
So I think it's just a great metaphor, because the body is just the microcosm of what's happening, right, in the macrocosm. So that's kind of what I said, something like that.
Yeah. This is really, the parallel is profound. The message is profound there, and really understanding how we are one is a path back.
It's a survival. At this point, it's about survival. If we want to survive, we absolutely have to begin to imagine. And you know, in human beings, we are one of the only species that we have this power that's called imagination. So we have to start using it to imagine and see our oneness, because it's a survival issue at this point. And I think this whole COVID-19 coronavirus thing is really showing us that, right? Yeah. It's not like, oh, you don't get it if you're a woman or a man or you're trans or you're black or you're white or you're whatever. It's like, nope, you're a human being and here, you got this thing. And, you know, so yeah, there's so many examples and so much of life just trying to point us back to seeing the oneness. And I really think that's what this coronavirus thing is trying to point us back to the oneness.
Beautiful.
There's
so much we could we can unpack each piece, but I guess the another thing I'd like to ask you is to just bring this into the conversation of the sacred feminine and this rising consciousness to heal our collective social wounds. What would you say from your perspective is the role of the sacred feminine in that rising consciousness, in this important work of healing our collective social wounds?
So if we think about what has happened to the collective feminine, the wounding through millennia of violence against women and girls and children, period. But read that wounding in the collective feminine, the suppressing of it, the pushing down of it, because there's a fear, right? So I think sometimes patriarchy is really, it's just the ego out of control, right? It's just the collective ego out of control. Mm. And fearful of what it considers the unknown, fearful of a loss of quote unquote power, or the need to siphon power from other beings, i.e. women, which is why women's work is needed, yet very unpaid, low paid, whatever, but it's like it's necessary. But as women rise, actual women rise, and as the collective feminine, right, and the sacred feminine rises up, it brings us back to not just to our history, because I don't think we just go backwards. I think we are going ever forward, ever more present in a new expression of the divine feminine, which was a part of our human history, right? So like before the advent of intensive agriculture, most cultures around the world were egalitarian, right? Mm-hmm. I wouldn't go as far as saying they were matriarchal, but they were egalitarian. And many were actually matrilineal, where like, you know, people inherited their identity through the mother line. But that was wiped out for the most part, you know, with the advent of intensive agriculture. And I'm not going to go into a whole anthropology 101 kind of thing. But as that happened, the sacred feminine was undervalued, devalued, and attempted to be destroyed, you know. And we saw that clear with things like the witch hunts and the witch, you know, like the things that happened to women who were called witches. And but as that heals and it's sort of, you know, women heal and we rise up, and the healing part is a really, because it doesn't just, because just having women take over existing structures, that's not the goal.
Yeah, no.
Just perpetuate the illness. But as we heal, as we commit to the healing, and what's the healing? The healing is the belief in separation and this deep abiding belief that resides, that's a part of the wound in the collective feminine, that we don't matter. That we matter. Healing that means we come to understand that we matter so much that if any one of us is plucked out of existence for whatever reason, that the whole fabric of existence changed. So we matter so much. And the more that each of us know that and we reflect that to each and every human being, let alone woman, we come into contact with, then we have human beings moving out across the planet knowing that it's okay to shine their light and they matter, right? So that is a part of what I believe we're being called to do. And women, I mean, we are literally, we are hardwired for that kind of living, right? Mm. We have that thick, our, what's the name? Sorry, I put crystals in my hair. I just not going to, so.
Awesome. Oh yeah. The thing that connects the left and right lobes.
Right. It's thicker in, human beings who are socialized as women and girls, because we tend to think about how things connect, how this thing affects that thing. Mm. There's not just this phenomena happening over here that doesn't affect this thing happening over here. Everything happens. And again, I think this whole virus thing that's happening right now, this COVID-19, is showing us, right? Like, it's not this Chinese disease, as the, you know, the Donald Trump is saying. It's not. Look, it's everywhere. Yeah. It's everywhere. There's nothing that happens anywhere that doesn't affect everyone. Mm. Every breath we take affects everything. And so I think it is that women, because of the way that we are literally hardwired, whether it's nature or nurture, it doesn't matter, but the way that we are hardwired, for the most part, we are hardwired to see connection.
Mm. Yeah. Beautiful. Mm. Wow. Thank you. Yeah. Mm. We are hardwired to see connection. Mm, thank you, Natasha. So we can keep going on, but I know you have a journey to take us on. So I would like to now step back, and I'm going to mute my mic and let you take it away. Guide us. Tell us what we're going to experience.
Well, first, I'm going to turn off the air conditioning in here. It's hot in Queensland. So I'm going to just take us on a guided meditation to a realm that I want everyone to just sort of open up inside of themselves, right? I call this sort of like inner spirit. We're gonna go to that realm together, and hopefully we'll see the grandmothers of light. And if you don't, you'll see whatever you need to see, or you won't see anything at all, and it'll all be fine, because at least the body will be settled and rested and relaxed, so the immune system can do its thing. So I'll do that, and then I'll hand it back over to you, if that's okay. Yeah, okay. But the other thing is, I want, during this guided meditation journey, I want people to collect the jewels that emerge for them, because this is an important part of any shamanic work. And I think at this point, we're all being called to awaken to our inner shaman, right? So this journey, this guided journey, is about going to that place and seeing what jewels are there for you and collecting them and bringing them back into this realm, okay?
Oh, lovely. Okay, so we will be collecting jewels, and then we can maybe share that with each other in the Facebook group. That would be great. Okay.
All right. So when you're ready, I'll just ask you and everyone participating to just close their eyes if it's safe to do so. And just turn within to feel your breath. Feel your breath. Notice what your breath feels like in your body. Notice what the breath feels like when it enters and the body expands. And then notice what it feels like to release the breath and the body contracts. So just do this for a few seconds. Notice your rhythm, the breath, the rhythm of your breath. And as we begin to abide and rest peacefully in that breath,
I want to invite everyone to sort of allow their muscles to sort of relax as much as possible on the exhale, so that the body becomes soft and supple and the message that I am safe can be felt. And it's when we're in this state that we can receive the gifts, we can hear that still small voice. So I invite you to allow the body to both be alert, but to soften on the exhale. Really feel that. And when you're ready, I want to invite you to go just a little bit deeper. A little bit deeper into this state of peaceful abiding. Where all of our attention is on the inner world. Being guided by the breath. The breath takes us deeper into this inner world. And I want to invite everyone to allow the silence in between the guidance to fill them up. To really feel them up, feel the silence. The silence is the way home. So allow the silence to fill you up. And as we go deeper, I want you to begin to just see in your mind's eye that you are walking down the stairs of your own inner being, almost like you can shrink yourself and go inside yourself, and you can just walk deeper down into your own inner being, your own consciousness. And at the end of the stairs, you see a light, and you just walk towards that light, continuing to be grounded in your breath. Just walk to the light, descending ever deeper. And when you get to the light, just walk into the light and allow that light to penetrate every cell of your being. Just feel that as if you yourself are a being of light. And as you are now illuminated, you continue to journey. Use the breath to ground you as you continue to just explore this part of your consciousness that is now lit up. Have a look around. See what you notice. Does anyone emerge? Just stay there. Explore. Keep breathing. Keep exploring. So as you continue on this journey, I want you to see yourself walking towards a meadow of trees. The trees are lined on each side with a path down the middle. I want to invite you to go down that path, noticing everything around you as you move down this path. What's there? Who's there? Are you invited to stop, to pause, to sit, to have a lesson with a tree or another being? But as we ground in the silence and the breath, we just take a couple minutes here just to breathe and explore. See who is there for you, what is there for you. And just notice, is there a message for you? Is there a gift? Just listen. So if there was a being or a message or anything, a jewel, a lesson from this encounter, express gratitude and let's continue on to the journey to see what else is there for you. Maybe you step off the path and you wander into the forest. Of your own consciousness. Let's see what's there. What gifts, what jewels, what messages? Are there any teachers there? So as we gather those lessons and those jewels, we express gratitude once more. And we allow ourselves to come back onto the path. And as we come back onto the path, we notice that there are stairs, and this time the stairs are going upwards. And so just approach the stairs, surrounded by the light and with your light. And just begin to walk up the stairs. And when you walk up the stairs and you reach the very top, you will be back in the very room where you're sitting. But before we open our eyes and we end this journey, we're gonna go a little bit higher, a little bit deeper, but a little bit higher. And we're going to just see if we can notice our bodies where we sit. If we can almost rise above the body and just see ourselves sitting where we're sitting. And we just observe everything in the room. And then we turn our consciousness to face upward. And then we journey upward, upward, so that now we should be able to see the house or the building in which our body is. And then we can see our neighborhood because we go even higher. And then we can see our community. And as we go higher, we see our town, our state, our country. And we just keep going higher until we can see our very planet. So whatever gift you gathered when you went deep down into your own consciousness, see yourself giving that gift to the planet right now. Notice what is being called of you right now. What is your higher self wanting for you to deliver to the planet right now? What is your gift to the species and the jewel you gathered from your consciousness? See yourself offering it to the planet. So at this very moment, there are hundreds or thousands of gifts being just offered and given to this beautiful planet. Once you've offered your gift, turn upward once more and just see if you can stretch your own consciousness almost where your etheric body is lying flat in space. And just see if there are any gifts from the great vastness of the universe that wants to be given to you right now. See yourself as being held by the entire universe in this moment. You are now a star. You are a star. So see the 5 points of your etheric body shining like a star over the earth, staring out into the vastness of your own self. You are a star being. Being called right now to deliver your gifts to the planet, to deliver your gifts to humanity. It's time to evolve. So now turn your consciousness back towards the earth and bring all your gifts home to the earth. Back to where you sit. Bring the star being that you are here to the planet right now where you sit. As you start to ground in the breath again and be here now in your body again. Give thanks for all that you've encountered on the journey. All that you've encountered in the journey of your own individuated life. Individuated, meaning indivisible from the whole. You cannot be divided from the whole. You're an individuated being. And you are now being called to shine your light, to bring your star power to the planet. Commit to your light. Breathe in that commitment. And so collectively, let's take a deep grounding breath in and then release it through the mouth. One more time. And know that the out-breath is itself a prayer to the planet, a breath of love to this beautiful being that sustains us. She wants us to know we are hers. We are earthlings. We are her people. So if you haven't already, just bring your hands to your heart. And then allow one hand to drop over your womb. And start to feel your body, wiggle your toes. Feel your heartbeat. And when you're ready, open your eyes and please share your gifts if you feel so called. Thank you.
Commit to your light. Thank you. Thank you, Natasha. That was extraordinary. Thank you. Thank you. So for those who would want to connect with you further, how can they find you?
So you could find me on my website. My website is thejourneyhome11.com. So all spelled out, thejourneyhome11.com. I'm also like on Psychology Today because I'm still a psychotherapist in practice, in clinical practice. But they can find me through my website. That's probably the easiest way.
Great. Well, thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for that extraordinary journey. Thank you for bringing all of your lineages and the grandmothers and great grandmothers. Yes, I really felt them and feel the blessings. So. And I'm excited to hear what some of the other women experienced. I certainly got a gem from a mermaid, actually. So I'll have to share more of that in the Facebook group. Who'd have thunk? So thank you. Thank you once again, Natasha. Let us stay in touch. And thank you, sisters who have joined us here. It is an honor and a blessing to hold this space and share this space with all of you. And please stay with us throughout the series because you can... I'm sure you can feel by now how much there is here available for you. So with that, I'm going to sign off for today and we'll see you on the next. Much love. Bye-bye.